Well, I'm Amy Adkins, and I'm so glad that you all are here. I feel so privileged that Pastor Jean asked me to speak. And last night, you know, she turned to me and said, "Amy, are you going to minister like me?" And I thought, I don't know that they'd want me to sing for an hour. You might take 1 minute of me and say, "Okay, Amy, wrap it up, wrap it up." But isn't she a beautiful gift? The whole time she was ministering last night, I think this is a rare gift from heaven and a privilege. I don't know anywhere we could have been last night where someone would sing over us and prophesy victory over us and, you know, make us just get right in the presence of God. She takes us where she's been with the Lord. And that's a true gift from heaven. And Pastor Stephen, what an excellent ministry they have here. I love to get to be in service with you because the ushers are excellent, the greeters are excellent, the worship team is excellent, beautiful, beautiful ladies and all the guys. And you can feel that everyone just stays plugged in because you're used to the move of the Spirit and the way that the Spirit moves. You're just ready to flow with Him. And that's a gift to me to be a part of this. It's just been a blessing. And another thing about that anointing that I just feel that's on the church and on this house is that it raises up other ministries and other people. And every time I get to come, someone else is taking up the offering and doing announcements, and you can sense an anointing on their life. So the pastors here, they're not selfish in the call or the anointing, but there are those that'll raise up other ministries. And that's a real, this is like a launching pad for ministries to go out because it's marked with the anointing. It's a place of the Spirit where people can get trained up and know how to flow and how to speak and learn the ways of the Spirit of God. And I treasure that. So I'm just thankful. I just get to be a part of it. Praise the Lord. I get to see. When the whole usher team came up last night, I was looking at thought, they're probably each one of them got a gift to pastor. They're so excellent and nice. I just want to commend the church on the excellence that's here and just thank you for having me. Like she said, we pastored in Danville. We're Rhema grads. We started there and, you know, now looking back, I think we probably should have picked a city in Florida or somewhere. But it's been 15 years in Danville and we're having a great time. We have two children. I have a son named Lake who's 10. And I have my daughter, Summer. She's 7 and she's hilarious. And she keeps us laughing, and so we're always having fun. Just thinking about last night, and I was just praying, and we were just moved in the Spirit, and her always saying, "This is Pastor Jay, this is my handsome husband." Just thinking about what was coming out of the Spirit of God, about just sticking with the plans of God. And she laughed because that's the name of my little encouragement video. And why I had to do that is I kept getting these little messages all the time on Facebook. Someone would direct message me and say, "Amy, I miss your voice in my life. I miss your voice." Jay and I have done youth camp for years. And when they grow up from teenagers, you know, they don't get to come to camp anymore. And now they're adults having their own family. And I would just get these messages. "We miss your voice." I thought, "You miss my voice?" But I thought, I can't get everybody into my church. But how do you minister to people that you would have influence with? So the Lord just dropped that plan in my heart and said, "Amy, I want you to believe for a camera. I want you to, you know, start thinking about doing these little motivational, devotional videos." And, you know, and last summer, we laugh about 2016. It was one of the hardest years I've ever had to go through. It was just like, I'm a joyous person, but it was like a fight to keep your joy. We had lost Jay's mother, and you know how that, a damper that gets put on your family when you lose someone so precious. And so we were just, you know, going through it last year. And then I get that plan in my heart when we're believing God for every dollar for the church and for home. Now I'm supposed to believe God for a camera. And so I just let those plans in my heart just start thinking about them. So thank you, God. Thank you for my camera. And, you know, a neighbor walked in one day and set some cash down on the kitchen table. And, you know, and I looked at that, and I'm sure Pastor Jay was looking at it thinking, "Praise God, that's our house payment." And I was looking at it going, "Praise God, that's my camera." My camera just walked in the door. I believe God for that. so, you know, you got to just those dreams in your heart and those desires, they're God-given. And they won't, you know, the plans that are on you, we have to pursue them and we have to see them come to pass on purpose. They don't just happen. We have to grab a hold of them. We have to stick to them. So last night I was looking in the Word of God in Ephesians in chapter 1 and 13. Says that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. And, you know, we were talking about Gorilla Glue. That's tough, tough glue last night. So if you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, your salvation, because you believed in Jesus is what that verse says. So you've been sealed in your heart with the Holy Spirit. So I just believe the plans with that Gorilla Glue this morning, this weekend, last night, tonight, they're getting just Gorilla Glued on your heart. The blueprints that God has for your life, that there wouldn't be any other plans that would be satisfying to you. There wouldn't be any other direction to go, but on our hearts, He's written His law, His word, His spirit, His plans for us. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, I know we all have it, a t-shirt with it, or we have it on our notebook, but He says, for the thoughts I have towards you, they're thoughts of peace, they're thoughts of hope. You know, in the King James says, to give you an expected end. There's a place we need to get to in the Lord. There's a calling on your life. There's such a unique purpose. What Jay brought up here was these plans. I'm just going to roll them, I think. And why I got this little vision last summer thinking about the plans of God on our life. And my grandfather is a builder. So I remember growing up, you know, he built over 200 houses in Flatwoods because the Lord had a call on his life. He you know, was one of 14 children. He was really poor. You know, growing up during the Depression, our little town was Flatwoods. The place he lived was Short White Oak. And he would climb up on top of a hill, and he would look out over the little city of Flatwoods. And there wasn't much there. He said he saw the schoolhouse, and he saw the church steeple. And the Lord was speaking to him as a little boy, and he said, he told the Lord, I'm going to build this city. So he had a sixth grade education when he dropped out because he needed to work to help the family because his dad got put into jail for bootlegging for alcohol. So he didn't have a dad growing up. I think if anybody could have thought they were a victim or shouldn't accomplish much in life, one of 14, one of many, you know, what could God use me for? They called him Fuzzy Wuzzy. Because he had blonde, really white, fuzzy hair on his head. So he could have thought, how can I do anything? But he, you know, regardless of the state you find yourself in right now, the plans of God on you are great. So he climbed up that hill. He saw the city. He let God put big plans in his heart. He said, and I'm going to build my hill. Every Sunday after church, we went up to Grandma and Grandpa's house. That's where he built his house. That's where I knew that he lived. And, you know, over 200 houses in our little town. He got a dentist office to come in, built the office, built a doctor's office, would call up the medical schools and say, send us a doctor. I've got a building for him. I'll lease it really cheap. So they would send a doctor to Little Flatwoods. He had a vision from God in his heart. So growing up, there were all these plans all over his house. Plans. If you've ever built a house or looked at plans, they're very detailed. They're very precise with great precision to what needs to be done. I mean, you can see where the windows are, how the doors open, how wide they will swing open, the pitch of the roof. Everything is on here. It's very detailed. So the Lord dropped this in my heart and said, the plans on your life, they're so detailed. They're precise to you, to your call. No one else can do them. What I've created you to do, your qualities, your giftings, no one else can do these plans but you. And the Lord's just rolled them across your heart. And nothing is as satisfying as being right in the middle of this, doing exactly what God's called you to do. You know, full of boldness, full of purpose, not worried about, well, I'm one of many. I don't have much money. You know, I can't do it. I didn't have money for a camera last summer, but I thought, but there's a plan of God on my life. And we have to look and know that, you know, the one who's in us is greater than all those things that are against us. Every limitation, everything that anyone's ever spoken against the plans of God on your life, God's word for you is greater. I'm going to lay these up here on the stage because I may come back to them. One time I did this example where, you know, if everybody, if you'd like to, just grip your head as hard as you can. I know it messes up your hair a little bit. Just don't hurt your hair, but just grab your, just grip real tight as hard as you can. I just want you to know this morning, God's grip on you is tighter than your grip on you and your grip on God. He's got you gripped and in the palm of his hand. And every plan and every distraction that the enemy's brought your way to sidetrack you, to get you off of those plans, to make you think that they could never come to pass, God's plans are greater. His voice on your life is stronger. His grip is harder. Think about all those times in life when you were going down the wrong path and just supernaturally, something just stepped in, grabbed you, and put you right back on course. Whew, that was the hand of God. That was the leading of the Holy Spirit on your life to guide you. Why? Because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. There's a stick on you. You're stuck to this plan. And Pastor Jean last night was mentioning there's a plan A. There's a plan A. Have you ever put in a destination in a GPS? Mine will give me three options. There's route one you could take. There's two. There's three. But if you pick one, it says it's the fastest, the shortest route, and the easiest way to get there. And I believe last night that's what was pouring out of your heart. You've got a choice. Let's choose plan A. Let's listen to the Spirit. You know, we can make mistakes and he'll guide us right back on course. But there is a perfect will and a perfect plan. And since we're sealed with the Spirit, we've got a guide on the inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit. I was driving my son to a cross-country meet last year, and he was so excited about this meet, and I thought, why is he so excited? He said, Mom, I've already run this course. I already know the lay of this land. He said, and last year, he said, and he's only 10, he said, I was about to get up on top of that hill, and he said, I was about to give up. If I was only halfway there, amen, Nancy. She's a marathon runner. She knows. He said, I was about to give up, but he said, he just kept on going. And he said, now this time, he said, I'll know if I just push, if I just give it all I've got at the top of that hill and I turn that curve, the finish line is just right over there. Just right there. Because he's already seen the course. And so I was reading in Hebrews last night. You'll like this. This is Hebrews 12. And it says that in verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that would so easily ensnare us and hold us down. But let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy of the Lord, he endured the cross. So I'm thinking about my son and thinking about him running. I'm thinking about Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he starts us out on the finish line. He holds our hand all the way there. He starts us on the starting block, He's holding our hand through the race, giving us the Holy Spirit who knows the course. And right when we're about to give up, we have a supernatural coach on the inside. And right when you think, I've had all I can take. I mean, people are dying on me. I don't know how long, you know, my job is going to last. When you think you've been through it all. My kids are acting crazy. Lord, help me. When you're just about to give up, just, Lord, I've done all I know to do. There's a coach on the inside. So if you'll just press up this hill, if you'll just turn around this corner, you're closer than you think to the end. You're closer to the finish line than you know. Don't give up. Don't stop now. There's a plan on you. There's a purpose to push you forward, to go farther, to run this last little bit even harder than before. Because we're just right there. Praise God, a coach on the inside. So, you know, they're talking to us here, and we're going to have to put off some things that would ensnare us or slow us down on the race. Distractions, wrong thinking that I can't do what God's called me to do, trying to compare yourself to other people. It slows you down in the race. We have to put our eyes and think about now the plans he has for me. They're big plans. They're to prosper me. He's got a future for me that's full of hope. You know, because we always have a choice. We're choosing plan A. But there's also a plan that the enemy has strategically cooked up for years against you. I mean, he will work for years to bring the biggest, you know, snare that you've ever had. I mean, it just feels like it's all just come down to this point. When I got out of Bible school, I was so fired up about healing. And I started going to prayer and healing school after the morning classes in the afternoon, if you could. And I found out that I could substitute teach and make more money than you could make working at JCPenney's. So I started substituting after the half day from noon on, whoever needed to substitute. So the days I didn't have to teach, I would go to prayer and healing school. So we just got turned on. Jay and I both just love miracles, just like we got to see some last night. Pastor Gene loves miracles. Pastor Stephen does too. They have weekends where you all just get to come in and see the miraculous power of God. It's very real. We should be seeing it all the time, experiencing miracles. We should have a fresh story right now of just what God has done for us. And so I'm all turned on. I mean, when I got to prayer and healing school, I was like, I belong here. This is what I'm called to do. Just those plans getting just sealed in my heart. And so I was just, you know, just really excited about God was going to use me to help people receive their healing. So when I get out of school and then, you know, several months later, my mother, who was my best friend, she was so sweet. She was just an encourager. You could walk in the room and she would say something just about you that would make you feel wonderful. She just could just find that one thing about you that makes you you and just compliment you. You feel like $1 million. She just had a gift about her. You wanted to be around her. So she's my very best friend and so fun. So, you know, she was only 45 years old and she developed this little cough. It's just little at first. We didn't pay much attention to it. And then I remember it was January of 2003, and she got diagnosed with a massive tumor that sat right up on her lungs, and it was pressing and causing this cough. Well, they said it's so big, and it's just going through every part of her. They couldn't operate, so they did some intense treatment on her. But it just came out of nowhere. And, you know, I just told, oh, Mom, we got this. You know, healing's easy. It's easy, easy for God. We got this. And, you know, and so we were praying, and for 6 weeks there, I was just by her side every day, just reading the word out loud, having our own church service, you know. And I never thought for a second that I would lose her. And just believing God through all this. And then, you know, 6 weeks had come to an end. I went back on a Sunday. I hadn't been to my church in several weeks. And I thought, well, I'll run back. I told my mom, I'll be just praising God for you all the way there and all the way back. It was a Saturday, and I was going to come back the Sunday night. And I'm the oldest of five, so I was helping run the house. You know, there were still little brothers and sisters there. And so when I got back, coming on the way back that Sunday, and it was March 16th, and Jay just stopped the car on the side of the road and just hugged me. And I was like, what? He was like, she's gone, Amy. She went on. I was like, no, she's not. I couldn't even receive it because I had different plans, you know. It wasn't my agenda. I was full of faith. Healing's easy. I'm called to do this. And so I got back, even when I got back in the house and I saw my dad, I was like, Dad, where is she? I'll raise her up. You know, if she's dead, that's fine. You just show me where she is. We'll just raise her right up. I couldn't take no for an answer. Faith doesn't know when to stop believing. We just keep believing God. Just have a spirit of faith about you. No, he said, Amy, no, she's gone. She's already gone. She's gone. You know, and that was one of the hardest nights of my life. How do you stop believing? You know, how do you let it go? When I knew what God wanted, it made no sense to me. So, you know, the next 2 weeks, you know, I'm just having an inner battle with my mind, my heart, my thoughts. I'm thinking, and I'm trying to be strong because my little brothers and sisters, Faith and Luke at the time, were 7 and 9. And, you know, I'm just trying to be strong for them. And I'm in the house just wondering, where did I miss it? where did we go wrong? And, you know, I'm just having this battle. You know, Lord, I felt called to the healing ministry and I couldn't even help my mom. That must not be the plans on my life. You know, and then you even start questioning the word of God. Well, Lord, I thought you healed every time, all the time. Just started getting all these questions. And I was sitting in a church service, like, you know, 2 weeks later, and it was Pastor Hagin was preaching a healing service that morning. I was sitting at New Life in Huntington, West Virginia, and I was right in the middle of the congregation. And like a movie scene is what it just seemed like in my heart, where everything, everybody was moving, and then it just got fine focused right on me. And as I'm sitting there, I'm about to cry because he's reading every scripture I confessed over my mom. And, you know, I'm sitting there wondering what to think about it anymore. And so as to get fine-tuned focused on me, I heard the Spirit of the Lord said, Amy, don't get lost in the why. Forget the why. Press on past this hurt and this discouragement and press on out in the call. He said, just make healing your thing. That's what he said to my heart. And, you know, I don't know the conversations my mom and God had. That's private between them. But, you know, now I'm thinking she was saying, I'm ready to go. You come and get me. You say go and I'm in heaven. There's conversations I won't know between my mom and God. But it would be wrong for me to let that stop the plans and the call of God on my life, to get lost in a hurt and try to explain things that they're not my job to explain. Secrets that are between God and his children that I'll never know. So instead of, you know, sitting there here, I got the Lord dropped plan A. He dropped big blueprints like this in my heart, sitting in that church service. I have a choice. Do I choose right now to shut the door on that why, discouragement, disappointment, and hurt, and press on in the call of God? Just make healing your thing. Just press on out. So I said yes that day. I didn't want to be hurt anymore. All I knew was to trust God and to believe God. I'd be lost without the Lord. I knew enough to stay on God's side, that he's good, he's for me, he loves me. I can't get lost in any other plan. Any other plan would be from the enemy. And I just think that, you know, we should just keep it real simple in our lives. I like to read John 10:10 all the time because it keeps it black and white for me. For the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You can get stuck on the word abundantly. It means profuse, above the ordinary, more than enough, more than sufficient, running over, pouring out, extraordinary. The abundant life of God. And that's what lives on the inside of us. And that's how the Holy Spirit has sealed these plans on our life. If we'll just stick to it, there's an expected end. He's standing at the end. It says, the author and the finisher of our faith. So you can't let distraction pull you off course. You can't let something, the enemy, he's cooked something up for years that he thinks this is the big one, this is the whammy, this is the one to knock them off. Because not only is he afraid of you, the devil, he's afraid of all of your influence. Who are you going to influence? Who's your story going to help? If you overcome this, who else is it going to deliver? If you press on past this point in this moment, who else are you going to reach a hand to and say, get up right now, let's go on with the plans. There's a strategic plan, and it's just for you. And no one else can do it. You know, in Ephesians 2:10, where it says that you have been called the masterpiece of God. He says his workmanship, created for good works long ago. So these plans on your heart, they're not new. He just didn't cook them up today. They've been on you. You know what Psalms 139 says? When you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I formed you. I made you perfect. To use that word masterpiece, have you ever watched an artist paint? It's really, they're focused. Every stroke is on purpose. Every mark on that canvas was intentional. So when the Lord was creating you, everything about you is very intentional. It was on purpose. Your hair, you could be like me, you could have curly hair. And if it's raining, you better just go with it. Don't fight it. Don't fight the plan. You could have freckles. You could have dark skin. You could have light skin. God made you that way on purpose. He needed you to be an original. You know, he could have found a real cute pattern of somebody and said, let's make 10 of them. I like that one. But he didn't do it. No, he went to great lengths to make sure you're one of a kind. No one else is like you. You're the only one. Your hair identifies you. Your eyes, there are buildings that you can't get in until they scan your eyes because no one else has your eyes. There's technology for your hands, for your skin, for your teeth. They all just identify you. You are so valuable to God, so important to God. No one else can do these plans like you. Nobody else. He needs you to choose this one. I'm going with the plan. I'm going with plan A. I don't want to go off course a little bit in hurt or discouragement and have to be recalculated and let the Holy Spirit pull me back on. No, I want to stay with plan A. We want to get to the victory in the shortest amount of time with the less traffic on the best roads. We want to arrive at our expected end. So we can't get discouraged about it. Can't get lost in the whys. Have to press on in his plan. Amen? Great big plans on you. You're not a mistake. No matter if you surprised your mom and dad, God was well aware you were coming. And he put his life and his spirit on the inside of you. And he already put these plans on you. He needed you in the kingdom for this time and for this hour. He put plans on you and said, I'm going to make them just like this because I need them to do this call and this plan. Don't be discouraged. In these plans, when you first start building the house, that first couple of days, it looks like a mess. Amen? It does not look like a house. You got to dig the footer. You have to, you know, get the foundation ready. There's materials laying anywhere. You think, God, you called me and said I was a house. This looks like a mess. So we can't stop in the plans. We may be on step one or two or three right now, but we just got to keep pursuing it. You know, I had to start somewhere. I had to believe God for the camera. Get some money in. Get some money to just, it's just a small step in a greater plan. So we can't get lost in discouragement. So there I was. I made the choice. I had lost my mother, sitting in that church. I'm going to choose to go with the plan of God. I'm not going to let this why hold me down. I'm not going to let the devil win. Sometimes you've been through so much and so much hurt. You just got to rise up on the inside. You got to stomp your foot and say, daggone it. I'm getting up. I'm not going to have any more down days. I'm full of joy and I got the victory. Do you notice when your joy goes up, victory goes up? When your joy goes down, victory seems lost. I made a declaration at my house this year for 2017. Only happy people are allowed to live here. If you're not happy, you'll have to find somewhere else to go. You know, my son walked in the other night and he's a real planner, real particular. And, you know, and Jay and I are really, you know, we don't have, we're just very flexible. And Lake's toys are G.I. Joe's go in the red box. Cars go in the blue box. He's organized and he's good for us. He has a schedule. And so, you know, so he walked in my room and I was studying, getting ready to speak. And he was upset because something, he hadn't figured out something about the next day. He was already nervous about it. Mom did this, and he walked in. And I just looked down and I said, are you happy? He goes, no. And he turned around and he left. Because he doesn't want to have to leave the house. I told him, only happy people. 2016 was so sad. We can't have another year like that. Because when joy is high, victory is high. We just read out of Hebrews that it was for the joy of the Lord that Jesus suffered to the cross. There's joy in fulfilling the plan of God on your life. It's satisfying. So let's keep our joy high. Amen. We'll keep our victory high. They're together. They're the best companions. The other day, it was about 2 months ago, and you know, we had a money situation. And money situations make things so stressful, don't they? If the money was there, we'd be happy right now, skipping around. But you know, when a need comes and you think, where's the money coming from? You know, it's easy to get stressed out because you think, I need to work harder. I need to do something harder. We need to do this better. We got to change this, you know. You're ready just to put it all on yourself. And so, you know, I was sitting there washing the dishes. And I was like, it just feels like all my joy is gone. And, you know, and I'm teaching at church the whole month is on joy. And I don't even have any. And I'm just washing the dishes. And I thought, you know, I believe if you start singing about joy, it'll start rising up in your spirit. And so I just did it as an experiment. I was crying. I was sad. I was discouraged. I was tired of being in this mess, in this place again. It's like, Lord, I know you've called us to greater things than this. And so I'm sitting there, and I just remembered that old Keith Moore song about, I'm full of joy, and I've got the victory. I'm full of joy, and I got the victory. And I just started singing, and I was crying. I'm full of joy, and I got the victory now. And I'm just crying and singing, and then I just started, and I just started right there in my misery, in my sadness. And I just started singing it, and I just let it get in my heart. And if you just start singing and praising God, it allows God to be greater than your problem. You magnify the Lord. And you know, that my little stress, that little money situation, it seems so small. Start thinking about who lives on the inside of me. That Jesus said, I give you my joy that it would remain in you. So your joy could be full. So I just started, and then I got happier. And I was like, yeah, I'm full of joy, and I got the victory. I'm full of joy, and I got the victory right now. Nothing but nothing can make me sad. Nothing can make me wear a frown. I'm full of joy, and I've got the victory now. And I just started singing it. And then, I mean, it did take a little. I mean, it took over 10 minutes, but I kept at it. Then I just start dancing in my kitchen. So, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm full of joy and I got the victory. Just, I convinced myself. My spirit knew it was true, but I needed to convince this flesh and this mind needed to be renewed to the word of God. That I could say, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. He hasn't taken his grip off of me yet. He didn't have to rewrite the plans that he has for me long ago. His plans are still on me. His purpose is still on me. This situation has changed nothing about me. This problem, this trial, this test, it's temporary. Speak like that over your life. I mean, the next day, that situation was gone. No, I think the enemy, the devil, he's an egomaniac. And if you're not glorifying him and saying, oh man, this problem's big. I don't know if we can last much longer. Might as well just quit everything now. Just forget it. You know, he likes that. He's like, yeah, say that. I'm awesome. I got you. You start saying, the devil is defeated. I resist him and he flees. I've got his number and it's zero. Start telling him about what Jesus did. He spoiled principalities. He made a show of them openly. He went down to the devil's house. He stole the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He destroyed him of all of his power, of everything that was worth anything in hell. Jesus took it out with him. And then Jesus, the first thing Jesus said after he's risen, said, all power I now give to you. This power that I have, it's for you. So that you could get on with the plans. Because he needs you. No one else can do it. Who's going to lay hands on the sick? Who's going to raise the dead? Who's going to cast out devils? It's us. And we're going to be right in the middle of his plans. No matter what it looks like today, just let it take some form. Let it take some shape. Stick with it. Be like me. Declare in the middle of your tears, I'm full of joy and I've got the victory. Devil, you tried your best and it wasn't good enough. My Jesus, just he made a parade through all of eternity with you as the defeated one. And he said, everybody, look at this. Look at this little guy. This is the little guy who tried to destroy us, defeat us. This nothing tried to knock me off the plans, off the course. That little fella, we would laugh. He would say, ha, 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 ha. Devil, you're not going to win. You'll not have my joy. You'll not have my children. You'll not destroy the plans on me. You'll not stop the call, the vision. You will not stop my ministry. I will not stop helping at church. I will not let down my post. I will keep witnessing to my neighbors. You cannot stop me. You know, when he came to me, you know, the enemy was trying to tell me, well, healing's not for you. You can't be called to the healing ministry. You lost your mom, your best friend. If you could help anybody, you would have helped her. I had to say, no, I don't even care about that. I had to say, devil, you've come too late. I had already been healed of so many things you couldn't have told me that God wasn't a healer. So you press out. You can't. There's things in your life we're not going to be able to explain. There's great tragedies. The devil worked really hard to pull you off course, to discourage you. We're not going to be able to explain them. I don't know why that person hurt you. I don't know why that relationship was destroyed. We don't have all those answers. But all I can tell you today, we're going to rise right above it to plan A. We're going to go right, keep right on course. We've got a coach on the inside. He's supernatural. He knows this plan. He knows this course. He knows to tell you to hold on. Just listen. Just stay steadfast with your confession of faith. Stay right here. Let these plans be stuck to you. There's no other direction you could go. Stay right here with your call, with your purpose, and he'll press you right out on into the call of God. And that's where we see great things. You know, that summer that I had that choice, you know, I was asked to preach to the youth at Rhema camp meeting. So that same summer, I am in the middle of the auditorium at the convention center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A little girl from Kentucky. And there were hundreds of children there. I call them children. They're teenagers. But and I watched them take off cast and run around the auditorium. I watched healings come out of that summer, and I did another one in Selma, Ohio right after that. There were such great healings that the Lord was just marking me, just sealing it with that gorilla glue in my heart. That I would just know without a doubt, Amy, press on in the call. This is what you're called to do. Don't worry about the whys anymore, the disappointment. You have to go out in the call. I'm so glad I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will. I believe that's on your heart this morning, that you're just having a tug where you're going to have to make a choice. I'm not going to get lost in this pain anymore. I won't stay discouraged anymore. We're going to choose the joy of the Lord and let it be our strength. We're going to let his joy keep us. His joy can be a staying power. It can stick us to the plans of God. Why? Because he's just revealing his purpose. He's just revealing that call that's on us. And if we'll stay joyful, we'll stay in line. We'll be able to hear that coach on the inside like never before. It's like cleaning out your ears, I think, to the Spirit when I choose joy. It's like when you get sad, you know, I have a friend that, you know, laughs at me and says, Amy, you just live in Amy land where everything's happy. Everything's not happy, Amy. Sometimes things are sad. And I'm like, I know they are, but I can't get down low like that. Because when I lose my joy, I can't hear from God anymore. And I know this problem's real, and I know this need is very important. But just let me stay over here in joy, because I'll hear where the answer is coming from, and I'll know which step is next in the plan. And I can just stay on course better if you just let me stay over here in Amy land. Let me stay right here, full of the joy of the Lord. Because, you know, I mean, you can't pastor for 15 years without learning, when joy's high, victory's high. When joy's low, victory's low. So joy has been, it's true what Nehemiah wrote in his book. I mean, you look in chapter 8 and verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the plans on him were great. He had to build a city with all kinds of people against him. He had organized people. Their wall was torn down around the city. Every time they worshiped, they were scared that the enemy was going to come in and attack them. So the Lord gave him a great plan. He said, now you get the families, let them go rebuild the wall in front of their house. So he organized them. They got out there. And the whole time Nehemiah is up there working and building that wall, he had naysayers. People that were jealous of the call and the plans on his life. Little voices talking to him. Come down off that wall. First, they start out nice. Come on, let's have lunch. Come on, let's talk about what God's called you to do. Why talk about what God's called you to do when you can do what God's called you to do? And so finally, like the fourth or fifth time, he said, I'm not going to come off this wall. If I come off this wall, the will of God will cease. I don't have time to stop what God's called me to do and go have lunch with you. Go talk about it. So they were so frustrated that he wouldn't take time to go their way. Let them figure it out. There's people always trying to figure you out, trying to figure your call out. Get so jealous that God's using you. They're like, oh, let's go out to lunch. Or get mad that you're still going to church and you're still faithful. And they just want to pull you off and kind of put some poison in you. You don't need to go to that church. They don't love you. They don't appreciate you. That's the devil. You were up on the wall. You're building something from God. You're in your place and in your purpose. So, you know, he wrote him a note and said, I'm not coming down. And they had started these rumors and said, well, Nehemiah, he is trying to get them to rebuild that wall so that all the people will worship him and he'll be the king. He had to send, he said, you made up those rumors in your heart. It's not even true. You know that's not right. We're building this so we'll be safe when we worship the Lord. This was a plan and the purpose of God. Nothing of me. Have you ever been doing exactly what God, you felt like God's called you to do, and somebody just accused you of something so wrong just to hurt you? That's what the devil, he'll do anything to knock you off course. Anything. He'll use any little voice to knock the plans off. There's one time in our church, and this man came in, and he had given a nice offering. And he walked in, and he said, I just want to know where my money is. And, you know, and he goes, I just feel like there's a misuse of funds. Well, that's so hurtful, because that's coming in and saying, I don't trust you. I believe you're a criminal. You know, it was so hurtful to say that. And my husband was there, Pastor Jay, and he said, sure, I'll show you where your money went. And we had a new soundboard, and we had done some new tile on the entryway. So it was more than what he had given. We showed him where the money was spent. And he said, and Jay looked at him and said, no, sir, let me just tell you, don't worry about a misuse of money around here. He said, my wife, her car almost has 300,000 miles on it. And our carpet in our house is over 14 years old. And two families have lived on it. And since then, I have hardwood, but that's from the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. And so he told this man, he said, don't you worry about a misuse of funds. And so that man, just like the devil, he couldn't get us thinking we were misusing it. Now the same man, the same mouth turns around to us and says, I can't believe you're living like that. You get up every morning and preach about prosperity and you're living like that. I can't believe it. So I really identify with Nehemiah. He's like, I don't want anybody to worship me. I can't do anything else but build this wall and do what God's called me to do. We're not going to worry about what the enemy says about us, what ugly voices are saying. When you're pursuing the plans and the call of God, I'm not even having time to acknowledge you. If I acknowledge you, the plans of God on my life ceases, and I can't afford that. So we're just so stuck to the plans. We're just going to stay. And Nehemiah, they got that wall done in 52 days. It was miraculous. It said all the enemies that wanted to attack him lost their confidence because they knew that the hand of God was with them and that God was for them. So as you overcome these things in your life, just know it's making every little devil and every enemy just lose their confidence to come up against you. The Lord has used this verse over and over in my life to bring victory. It's Isaiah 54 and verse 17, where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every evil voice you will condemn. There are strategic plans the enemy has placed on your life to knock you off course, to make sure you don't get to that expected end, that you never see these plans come to pass, that you never see, in our example, this house built. But the Lord would just stir you up on this morning. His plans are greater. that you would recognize any other voice that is contrary to the plan of God on your life, and you would quickly condemn it. Quickly. There are some young people in here, and I will tell you this story really quickly. When I was growing up as a teenager, and I was loving Jesus, and I was on the praise team, and I was worshiping and the Lord, and I got going. My parents were so nice because I liked modeling and fashion at that time. They were driving me 2 hours away from our hometown to Lexington to go to an agency, and they started measuring me, and you know, they're really body conscious and image conscious. They get your wrist and your waist and your ankles. And I mean, sometimes you can't help it. You got big ankles. I mean, you know, I mean, I always thought, why do they care about your ankles? I mean, that's your bones, you know? Anyway, so they made you really image conscious. So I started thinking, okay, smaller is better. If I can be smaller, the better. Healthier I'd be. I thought it was healthy thoughts. So I just flipped that switch in my brain that food was bad and just flipped it. And so I didn't have an appetite anymore. So I just began to get skinnier and skinnier and smaller and smaller. And I was working out all the time. I was being deceived, still loving Jesus, still full of, you know, wanting to do his purpose, not knowing the enemy had brought this distraction to me. So I started listening to the wrong voices. I was getting skinnier. My parents saw this. They surprised me one day after school and just took me to the doctor's office. You know, as a teenager, you've been through so many lectures, you can just put that glazed look on your face and like, you know, can I get an amen? You know, like you're not even listening anymore. You know, so I knew how to do that. And I just thought, no one really knows how to be healthy. That's what the enemy was telling me. No, you're the only one that knows how to be healthy and how, just deception. And so my dad was praying one Saturday morning. He was just praying for me. And he just busted right through my bedroom door. And I, you know, it startled me. I just looked up. And he said, Amy, we're not going to take you to the doctor anymore. We're not going to lecture you anymore. He said, the Lord's given me a verse for you. And it was that one I just quoted to you all. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every evil voice you will condemn. And he just left. He left my room. And from that moment on, I made an adjustment on the inside. It healed my mind and took that darkness out of my heart. Those plans that the enemy had to kill me when I was a teenager, they just got destroyed by the power of God and his life that's in the word. It says his word will bring light to us, light on the darkness. Praise the Lord. And that darkness had to go. And those enemy's plans, they were not greater than God's plans on me. God's grip was stronger and tighter. And now when any opposition rises up, we're quick to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We're just going to rise up in the call. So I know some things are just stirring up on the inside of you. There's a calling to rise up to. There's a place to go. Not to stay where you are. But when you're with the plans of God, things are changing and things are moving. Things are building. You're getting higher and higher. Things are taking shape in your life. You thought, man, it's been a mess for so long. But the Spirit of the Lord would just like to encourage you today and say, don't give up on the plans. Don't get upset that there are steps to take. Because if you'll be faithful with step one and step two and step three, after a while, the house is going to come together. And you'll be able to look back and say, that was the leading of the Lord. That was the hand of the Lord. And where the enemy made a little places in your life for you to get stuck, for you to fall down, it's like the Spirit of the Lord is just, you know, renewing that spirit of faith on the inside of you, just reminding you of the coach on the inside that's going to push you out into the call, push you up out of the ditch and get you right back on the way. For any other thought that's contrary to the plans and the call of God on your life, that you would condemn it. There wouldn't be any other thought that you would entertain that could sidetrack you, that would discourage you, that wouldn't allow you to press forward. For there is a motion to the plan, and it's always progressing. It's always going forward. It's always to get you to that expected end, to the end of that plan. So all the while as we're pressing forward and we're choosing to listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside, his voice, his call, that we could run this race with joy. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. The joy of the Lord is going to take you from the starting block all the way to the finish line. Say, Amy, what do? It, when you ask God for something and you believe I received it when I prayed, what do you do meanwhile till it happens, till we see it? We rejoice and we thank God that his joy is on us and in us, making us strong, making us just stuck to these plans that are in our heart that only you can do because you're so, you were worth Jesus coming from heaven to die for. He made us one of a kind, his true masterpiece. Your church needs you. Your community needs you. Your family needs you. Running in this call and in this purpose. It's just for you. It's just on you. Praise the Lord. You know, as I see you girls, I just feel like there's an extra anointing today in the worship area. As you were worshiping, the Lord began to speak to me about your heart. And, you know, in worship, it's so neat because, and you all are very talented and your voices are pretty. But it's not just having a pretty voice. There's something that gets unlocked in your heart. And it's an anointing that causes other people to be engaged in worship. So not only does the Holy Spirit help you hit all the right notes and remember all of these words to all of these songs and the transition and all of that, but there's an anointing that when we see you worshiping, we want to worship. And that's just the plan of God on your life. Anointed on the violin. Anointed. When she's playing, I want to be praising. There's just, I just believe, if you all would like to stand up, I'm going to just seal the plan on your hearts. You too, hon. There's just a plan of worship. I just see it. And I just saw me put my hand on your heart. And that it would just be sealed from this moment forward for you to go up a new level. That the anointing on your voice would cause others to want to praise God. That it would remove burdens and yokes. It would cause an atmosphere for the miraculous to happen. For healings to happen. For people to turn from all deceptions and just to choose the plan of God. So I just speak right now, Lord. Oh, you seal it. There it is. Seal that plan in her heart in the name of Jesus. There's a feeling to overflowing on the inside of her. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the plan. Thank you for the plan. Now, Lord, I just seal it in the name of Jesus. The plans of worship and overfilling from the inside out, Lord. Oh, we seal the call and the purpose in the name, in the name. Oh, yeah, the plans are sealed. Oh, the plans are big. Oh, so right now I just seal the plan on her with the anointing of God. Oh, that her eyes will see just like you do, Lord. Oh, that the call is great. Oh, that the purpose is great. Now feel her like never before. Oh, with the supernatural strength, Lord, to do all that you've called her to do in the name of Jesus, in the name. So when I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what would you like to minister to the ladies about? If you stood before him, what would you say? And the Lord told me to tell him this, Amy, say to fix their eyes like they were my eyes, that as they considered themselves and as they considered the purpose and the call on their life, they wouldn't be able to look to limitations. They wouldn't be able to look to any disappointments or anything anyone else has ever spoken upon them. That they would begin to see themselves through my eyes as a champion, as one who was worth saving, as one who is the healed of God, the one who is equipped with the Holy Spirit to run fast without any weights. The ones who are in a place of authority to cast down every devil. The ones who can speak with a voice just like heaven's voice. That would command everything that doesn't line up with the word of God to come under their feet. That would be a voice to captives of freedom. That would bind up every evil enemy, every disease, every voice, every lock and chain that's been placed upon the church. That they would be the ones who would see themselves as I see them, seated in the place of victory, more than conquerors, because Christ is living in them. That they wouldn't ever be able to acknowledge themselves or judge themselves as a mere man, a mere woman, But they would realize that what's on the inside of them, the very life and nature of God, the same spirit that raised Christ up from the grave, now dwells in them, now equips them to run this course and to see these plans done, to see them finished. So cast your eyes upon the plan. Cast your eyes upon the finish line. Oh, for there is a delivery time. There is a marked time. Oh, there is a set time in the spirit for you to arrive. So it's not a time to wait. It's not a time to say, has the gunshot sounded? But from this point on, to know the race is on. The momentum is on. You're on track. You're on course. Now be filled with strength and power today. Oh, for you're going to turn the curve. You're going to go down the hill and you'll arrive at the finish line. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the plans. Thank you that they're great. Thank you that they're on us. Oh, you've made a way where there looked like no way. You're the way maker. You've removed every distraction and every disappointment so we could run this course with joy. So we could be full of strength today. Oh, it's not by our might. Oh, but by your might, says the Lord. Your spirit within us, making us alive and equipping us. We've got supernatural power. We've got supernatural help. You're not limited to a natural realm. Oh, there's a super on you. There's a super on you. His spirit, his anointing, his life is going to push you on in the call. You're going to see it come to pass in the name of Jesus, in the name. Pastor Gene, come on up. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You finish us out. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I just believe we need to shout glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.